Ramsey TV.
Who do you think it is who wants to discount words? Who wants to put doubt in your mind as to words, as to sentences, as to the meaning of words? Who do you think it is who wants more than anything to make the scriptures expendable? And it's nice, but you don't really need them because we are flowing in the Spirit. Who do you think would do that? Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. And I'll tell you exactly who would do that. It is our adversary, Satan. Because as I've told you many times, Satan cannot undo what Christ did on the cross. But he can hide it. He can take away the importance of it. He can substitute other things for it. And he is doing that actively today. And millions of people have bought the bait. And the bait is to lure people away from an intellectual pursuit of the words of God into their own imaginations, into their own thoughts, into their private interpretations. Few people really want to even look into the Word of God. Fewer people yet really know that Jesus didn't speak in English and God didn't talk to Moses in English, and fewer still are into analyzing the words in the original language, look at them in their context, and then discern from the context what the words mean. This sounds so unspiritual, and yet it is the most spiritual thing you can do. And again, who would lure people away from a foundation of revelation? That is Satan. Satan would do it. And today, I suppose this has been this way, probably to one degree or another, but not like today. I think we are infected with a political correctness which says that everything must be respected, everything must be tolerated. You've seen those idiotic tolerance bumper stickers with all the religious symbols on them. Why don't you just get a bumper sticker that says, I love the beast, because that's what that is. All the religions coming together. But no one, let's say this way. You are made to think today that if you criticize someone, that you're a mean person, you're a bad person. How did this happen? I don't know. But we saw this, if I can make a political analogy here, in the election of Barack Obama, the first black president in the United States. I'm trying to even think of the year he was elected. Eight. So the thing with Obama was you could not criticize Obama because anyone who criticized Obama was said to be racist. You don't like Obama? Maybe you don't like some of his policies? Oh, you're just racist. You don't like black people. It's this built-in bulletproof thing that people try to build to protect something. And now, in order for Satan to protect this idea that you don't really need a solid foundation of words, he makes it really socially unacceptable to criticize anyone. Now, more than ever before, and I really do think this is exclusive to our era, and it's another sign that these are the final years of Millennium 6. Now, more than ever, we have this odd phrase called your truth, as opposed to the truth. This is an infection. It is a virus. It is introduced by Satan, and he might have introduced it in other areas and other avenues, whether public education or in other social settings, but really his end game was to introduce this your truth. It's your truth. Whatever you think is right, that's what's right. We can't dictate to you what the truth is, because that would be intrusive, and it would not be tolerating your beliefs, your world. And we must respect that at all costs, because we're in the era when everybody's right. Little Johnny gets a trophy for getting up in the morning. Little Johnny has an opinion, and we don't want to hurt his feelings because he might grow up to hate us. Therefore, little Johnny is right. You're right, little Johnny. If that's what you feel, then that's the reality. That's the reality. This has, again, been injected into society by Satan, with the end game being that everybody can be right in the scriptures. There doesn't need to be any arguments. Arguments are a sign of unspiritual people. Arguments are a sign that people are selfish and they're arrogant. Oh, arrogance, that's the big accusation. When somebody comes in and insists, this is the truth. This is the truth. And the corollary to that is you must tell somebody else who's not saying the truth that is a lie. That is not true. You can't say that today because people insulate themselves with this sickly your truth. But there's no such thing as your truth. It's the truth. It's a standard. Now, do you think that God, what I'm giving you right now, I'm giving you a beautiful way to think of the scriptures, because this is going to strengthen you in your own study of God's word. This is going to help convince you that you are not crazy. There is no way that the God of the universe would leave humanity totally bereft of a revelation of himself. He would not leave it up to private interpretation. And there's a verse, I'll put it on the screen here, that scriptures were not a matter of private interpretation. It was a matter of God speaking his words to an intermediary with a pen and dictating. And it was not a private interpretation. In fact, most of the writers of scripture didn't even know what they were writing. They could not make heads or tails of it. That wasn't their job to interpret it. Their job was to record it. And I've often referred to the scriptures as a lighthouse. The scriptures is a point that radiates light and a point that draws all else to it. And there is one Bible. I don't like to say Bible because it's been translated and ruined so many different ways. And it's been ruined by Christian use. They like to say the Bible. And we've all heard of Bible thumpers, the Bible belt. I hate the word Bible. Hate it. And I distance myself from it. I like to say the scriptures. What does scripture mean? The writings. That sounds good to me. Now we're getting somewhere. The writings. God chose words in order to reveal himself. And how else could he do it? I mean, think about it. There was no, back in the day, there were no audio tapes, no CDs. God couldn't have a podcast, couldn't do a YouTube show like this. And so the most primitive form of communication besides word of mouth, which was an important form of communication back in the day, is the printed word. It endures. From the dawn of humanity until now, words are a chief means of communicating. It's a chief means of taking, not speaking of the scriptures now, but taking ideas, taking someone's thoughts and putting it in a medium that allows it then to be grasped, understood, and appreciated by other people. And it endures. My God, where I was at Jim Burson's house in Columbus, and he's a bookbinder. And in fact, when my Bible fell apart for the first time, he rebound it. He's a great guy, a really, really intelligent man. Excuse me. And he has a collection of books. And he has one book from the date on the bottom of the book says like 1511 or some insane year from the 16th century. And just looking at that book, it's amazing. And we know that there are some copies of the Gutenberg Bible, Gutenberg being the dude who invented the printing press. But before that, scribes wrote down words on papyrus, and there were copyists, and they made other copies of it. That's what a copyist does. And this is how God decided to communicate. Even in John chapter 1, verse 1, indeed, in the beginning, God was the Word. In a beginning, God was the Word. Well, I'm getting too excited about this. I'm not ready to go to John because I can't even read it right. Let me just say this. God would not leave a revelation of himself to private interpretation. So he's going to have a book. He's going to have a collection of writings that are inspired that will be mysterious in one way, but known in another way. I mean, everybody knows about this thing called the Bible. A lot of people have it in their house. Some people have it as like an ornament. They put it on their coffee table. Some people give Bibles to their children when they graduate or when they go to Bible school. But the Bible is famous. Can I say that? The Bible's famous. Why is it famous? Why has it endured? Why is it such a source of controversy? Because God wrote it. Because he wanted to be known. Remember what I said earlier? God is his desperate desire to be known. And it's got to come from him. Who else knows what happened in the beginning, in a beginning? Who knows how the universe was created? Who knows how the first man came to be? God does. He's the only one that was there. So he recorded. He had people record it. It has to be that way. The one exception was at Belshazzar's gathering in Babylon, where that hand wrote on the wall. But see, that's fine for a sentence. But to have the entire rush, the entire gush of God's mind, we need writing. And God made sure it happened, and it's been preserved. The Bible, there I go. I don't want to use that, but okay. I'm using it as something that most people can relate to. The Bible is fought over. It has been miraculously preserved. People can't exactly explain it. Some people think it's just a collection of writings from human beings throwing things out of their own head. Maybe on a future day, I'll give you reasons why. Internal evidence that the scriptures are inspired. But my main point is that God has not left humanity adrift or bereft. He has given us words that have been miraculously preserved and that fit together miraculously. And so the words on the page are special. The words on the page are, get ready for this. Some of you might not like this. Most of you will. The words on the page are the only way we can know God. I said only way. This was not true as the scriptures were being written, because then God spoke directly to human beings in order to get it written. But now that it's been written, God has not said anything since. Some people think he does. Some people think that they don't need the words on the page because God gives them private revelations. Now, before I blow that up with a stick of dynamite or two, let me say that I acknowledge that still small voice inside of us that is the Spirit of God, but I like to call that the conscience. The conscience lets you know what things are going on. God puts thoughts in your mind, of course. He puts every thought in your mind. But this is different than thus saith the Lord. This is not revelation. This is, again, God working in your thoughts. I don't discount that. What I discount is the Lord told me. The Lord told me. The Lord does not speak that way now. And anytime somebody says he is or he does, it's a false manifestation. It's Satan again, as I started the show with, causing hundreds of millions of people to minimize, to just put on the periphery this book in order to get everybody privately interpreting. Everybody has a dream. Everybody has an idea. Everybody has a thought. Everybody got a word from the Lord. No, 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 and no. It is all crap with a capital K. It can't be trusted. Only the scriptures can be trusted. And it's true, we do not have the original scriptures by the wisdom of God. So we look to the most ancient manuscripts we can find, and then once we find them, and we have the three most ancient manuscripts, Codex Sinaiticus, Codex Vaticanus, Codex Alexandrinus. That's only half the battle. Then you have to translate with a system, with a method, which respects God's words. I have found this to happen in the Concordant Literal New Testament, and I revere not the book. I revere that God took the trouble to tell us everything he wants us to know. He took the trouble to do that. And he put it in a book. And it's an anchor. It's a lighthouse. It's a standard. Because without the standard, it's every man and woman for themselves, isn't it? Without the standard, anything goes. Without the standard, we can't know anything. And we're all adrift. We're all in a madhouse without a map. Do you think for a second that God would put us in this madhouse without a map? No. Oh, no. God is merciful. God is loving. God is kind. And he gave us a map. He's not going to set us out here with no directions, with no revelation. Very, very important. And what do you know? We have this thing called the Bible, which I prefer to call the scriptures. And that's the map. And that's the only map. And since this word was recorded, nobody's getting direct revelations anymore. Nobody. Nobody's getting direct revelations. And anybody that tells you they are, it's a lie. I'm not saying they're purposely lying, but they are being deceived by the enemy who does not want the scriptures to be the centerpiece of our discussions about God. I'll close with this. This time I'll try to read it correctly. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was toward God, and God was the Word. Logos is the Greek word there behind Word. It's the expression. And Jesus Christ was the expression of God. And I like the fact that this is translated Word, because there's a spoken word. And when Jesus Christ came, he spoke words of grace and truth and peace. But no one today would know anything about them apart from someone recording them. So thanks to you, Mr. Matthew, Mr. Mark, Mr. Luke, and Mr. John, for writing down your spirit-inspired accounts of what Jesus Christ did while he was on earth in his Jew suit. And thank you, Mr. Paul, for faithfully recording what the vivified Christ, the glorified Christ, who had taken off his Jew suit, what he had to say to the nations concerning his plans for all humanity. These do not come by dreams. They do not come by private interpretations. They do not come by fantasies, by secret little words God whispers in your ear. No, no, and no. And anybody who follows that path will go off in a fantasy land, in a rabbit hole, over the rainbow. They won't have any freaking clue what God's doing. And this infects Christianity. And you can't criticize them because they make themselves bulletproof. Well, this is my truth. Yeah, but your truth is not the truth. God has introduced us to the truth. And don't shoot the messenger, but he did that through words.